This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Protests responding to the videotaped police killing of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, have continued this week. In addition to being disturbed by the video of Sterling's killing, many are shocked at images of heavily militarized police armed to the teeth, responding to street demonstrations as though they were fighting a war. About 200 people have been arrested so far, and many have complained about abuses at the hands of police. The ACLU of Louisiana, together with the New Orleans Workers' Center for Racial Justice, Black Youth Project 100, and the Louisiana chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, among others, have filed a lawsuit against the Baton Rouge Police Department for violating the First Amendment rights of protesters. Joining me now from Baton Rouge is Charles Joyner. He's a member of Stand With Dignity. Welcome to the program, Charles.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first, can you explain the capacity in which you've been involved in these protests? It's been a tumultuous week around the country, but Baton Rouge in particular has been a major flashpoint, and I understand several cities around Louisiana, specifically over the killing of Alton Sterling. How have you been involved?
Well, first, let me just state for the facts is that I've watched the video, and that impacted me so much that I had to come and join this protest.
The video of Sterling's killing?
Yes. Mm. And in the capacity of me coming to join the protest, it was very peaceful. It had a lot of energy. It was directed in the right focus. And I just think it was just very important for me to just be a part of this movement.
And where are you from?
I'm originally from New Jersey, but I reside in New Orleans.
So you are a resident of New Orleans, and you saw the video of Alton Sterling, and you, like thousands of other people, were on the streets of Baton Rouge. What have the protests been like? Have they been in the daytime, in the nighttime? How big have they been? What are some of the slogans or demands that people are making?
I only could speak for the protest that I was at, and that was on Sunday, and it was in the eve. Pretty much it had daylight outside, and it was peaceful, and the demands were pretty much the same thing as any other demand would be, is that Black Lives Matter. The murder of Alton Sterling was just very unjust, the way he was handled and the entire situation. But back to the protest, it was very peaceful. It was no shape or form of violence coming from the protesters. Everything was just going very smoothly until we had that interaction with the police that was about 3 or 4 blocks away from the bridge.
Tell us about how police were dressed, just their gear. Did it sort of shock you to see police covered top to bottom with military gear?
Very much so. It did not look like this was going to be a riot. This was just a simple protest. And we were halted in our tracks because of information, I don't know where they got it from, saying that we were going to enter onto the interstate or block the interstate or what may have you. And I heard none of this coming from any of the protesters at any given time. And they blocked the street before we even actually got there. And they were already lined up. But this was just a regular police, and some of them had tactical gear on, such as vests with multiple pockets. And then as that went on, it kind of escalated to them coming through a side block, which was maybe a block off to the right. You heard sirens a brief while after we had a brief dialogue between some of the leaders of the protest of including myself. I wasn't a leader in it, but I was a marshal. Actually, a marshal responsibility is to be the protector between any antagonizers, including the police, towards the crowd. So that was my objective, to try to see what was going on. So as we moved to the right, we tried to regroup ourselves and strategize what we were going to do next. We heard a couple of loud siren sounds come from like the little alleyway that was right by that house. And the next thing you know, we see police in full tactical gear. And I mean full tactical gear. They had the helmets, they had the body armor, the leg armor, and they had 2 armored vehicles with them.
I mean, I'm looking at the photographs and it's just astounding. There may have been a few square inches of the skin exposed. Every other part of the bodies of these cops were covered with, flak jacket type materials. I understand that there was also, there were instances throughout the week, and I'm not sure if this is something you might have witnessed on Sunday, but there were instances around the week when police trained their weapons right at unarmed, nonviolent protesters and journalists, just basically pointing their guns right at them. Did you see anything of that sort?
No, but they did have the rifles at hand, which I think was completely unnecessary to begin with because no one out there had any type of ammunition or firearms, and no one was trying to threaten them at all. We were just trying to get our point across, and we just wanted to know why they stopped us in our protest.
The Baton Rouge police chief basically justified this type of approach, the police's their dress and their some of their actions, saying these officers are on edge. They're scared just like the public is. How do you respond to that? Aren't cops supposed to not be scared? I mean, they're the ones armed.
Well, I really don't want to detour too far off and just like really make my own idea on top of what the community of Baton Rouge is feeling. But just of my own standpoint, when you sign up to be a police officer, that you know certain dangers are going to be expected of you to begin with, just to make the matter more hit home. When I actually came down here, I actually had plans on being a police officer and to serve the city of New Orleans. But as I look and I seen the injustices that was going on, that kind of halted that. But to get back onto the topic, you already know what you're stepping into. So you to have imminent fear of the public is kind of just outrageous, and nobody was trying to incite any type of violence toward them. I'm not saying that people don't know, but they had children out there. They had 14-year-olds on down and 14-year-olds on up out there, and like, why would we have any type of, violence towards police when we're trying to get this matter settled? And it was all about Mr. Sterling, so. I just don't understand how they just try to refocus the matter onto themselves.
Right. There have been many reports of protesters simply arrested for, apparently no reason. There was even a conservative reporter with Breitbart, a right-wing publication who is often critical of Black Lives Matter, but was arrested by the police and then basically criticized how the police were reacting, saying they provided no clear direction, they caused chaos, and then just randomly arrested people. Tell us about this lawsuit that a number of local organizations have now filed, along with groups like the ACLU of Louisiana, have now filed against Baton Rouge police. I understand that the basis of this is the violations of people's First Amendment rights to freely express themselves.
Yes, very much so. And I had a hand in serving the sheriff's department that lawsuit. And I mean it's our First Amendment rights, just for first off. And it just seems that even though we know our rights, that our rights are being violated nonetheless. So we can tell them that we know our First Amendment rights. We can tell them we have the right to protest. We can tell them we have the right to assemble. But they take it upon personal feelings that they're being antagonized, that we're trying to intimidate them or scare them, quote unquote. And I don't think that's right.
I understand there were also reports in Baton Rouge of police rushing onto the front yard of a resident in the area who had given permission to protesters to be on her front lawn, and the police were, trying to get activists and protesters off of her front lawn, and they rushed without her permission. It was really sort of interesting. I don't know if you heard of that story or others like it. Do you get the sense that police were just kind of acting on instinct rather than with any proper plan, that there wasn't really good guidance given to them?
I say at that point they were kind of acting as like a rogue agency, because they
Wow.
took it upon themselves to tell the crowd that they were no longer safe where they were at, and they were on private property. They were welcome on that property. They did not just walk onto this lady's property and just say, "Oh, we're going to take up this space." The lady seen what was going on. She took it upon herself to let them know, "You can't come on this property and continue what you were doing." And the police pushed the fact, and beyond that reason, they threw about four canisters of tear gas at different separate times and into the crowd.
Wow. So, what's the situation right now? Since the earlier part of the week, when we saw this kind of police action, these mass arrests, 200 people arrested, what have pro have there been protests, and has there been a slightly more, reasonable police response to those protests?
Actually, yes, there has been pocketed protests throughout the city. One I know that was on Goodwood, that's pretty much by the police center. It was a peaceful protest. They had a moment of silence, which they actually said nothing. They just hold up their signs. An individual took the right precautions to cross the street, which that's the a pedestrian's right. And he only took about at least a couple of pictures. And on his way back to join the crowd, two vehicles pulled up in a real fascist manner and took him away within 2 minutes.
What sort of effect did the police actions earlier in the week have on protests? Did people really feel frightened for their lives when they saw cops coming at them? And I understand people had their clothes ripped, dragged across the cement, just real horrific violence that in many ways kind of confirms the very reason that people are protesting against the police. I mean, people were there to protest unjust and excessive police violence, and here the police meet people with that same sense of violence. Did it have a chilling impact on people's, right to protest?
Basically, it did, and basically, it did. For those that were impacted and frightened, I noticed that myself during the push of tactics that they used to box us in and corner us off. I seen a lot of frightened faces out there. I seen a lot of people crying. I seen a lot of people just trying to get their point across and say, "If you really wanted us to leave, then why are you doing what you're doing to us?" And then we have another group of people that, including the activists that were arrested, that's just saying that this is not going to stop us. This is only giving us the fuel to keep doing what we're doing, because our amendments are being broken, our rights are being just viciously thrown to the side. And this is something that the law is supposed to withhold, our constitutional rights. And just to add another standpoint, which I find so appalling, is that the governor is actually just saying that what they're doing is correct. What you're doing to these protesters, or is it exactly what needs to be done? And I think he should be held accountable for his actions to say that the police are doing the right job.
So, Charles, tell us also about the organization Stand with Dignity that you're a member of, and how organizations like that have become a basis for responding to police violence.
As you said, that's all we are right now in Baton Rouge, is just a basis. We are the their backbone. We are their help. We're not trying to come in and re-strategize their focus. We're just coming in to give them the necessary tools and opportunity to protest and do what they do. And they're doing a fantastic job at doing that. And we're just giving them all the support that we have and all the vital tools and necessary tactics that we use in New Orleans to do also here in Baton Rouge.
Now, I also understand that several people remain in custody. Do you have any understanding of what has happened to the approximately 200 people who've been arrested? Or have they mostly been let go? Are there cases, a lot of cases pending? I'm assuming that there's going to be a pretty big demand for sort of legal help as well as money for legal help.
I can truthfully say that, as far as to my knowledge, that the 200 people have been released. If there are other detained people that are in the jail, I cannot speak on that. But as in the legal help, we have a team that's been dedicated to strategizing and getting these people out, these activists, these young black people out of this system.
And it
And
was mostly black folks that were arrested.
yeah, no, it was not mainly black folks. To be honest with you, there were white folks also, but they got out a lot faster than the black people did.
Really?
Yes.
And how do you explain that? Just they were released faster, or they were able to make bail faster, or?
Just to circumvent right quick, to let you know who is left, it's actually three people left that are still incarcerated. And then I really cannot dissect why they got out, but if we just wanted just to keep it real, then it'd be the point that they have money and that they're white.
Yeah, and that is a big part of the problem, white supremacy, a big part of the problem that underpins police violence in many of our communities. Well, Charles, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. And just to shout out the community of Baton Rouge to let you know, not just Charles Joyner that's here doing this interview, but Stand With Dignity, all the organizations that's here. We are with you. We love you, and we want you to keep on that same energy that you guys have, and just keep on doing what you're doing. Do not let the police deter you from your amendment rights. Do not let them stop you from assembling in masses to let them hear your voice, the governor, the mayor, the president, whoever. They have to hear your voice. You are the backbone of this country, and let them know that and show up and just keep on doing what you're doing.
Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Charles Joyner is a member of the group Stand With Dignity. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.